So grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father,
His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who gathers us this morning in worship. What a better way to celebrate Rally Day than using the parable found in our gospel text this morning. And as you may well know, Rally Day is that time of the year when we celebrate our teaching ministries at church, Sunday school and Bible studies. We celebrate that in the sense that we have all been on vacation, traveling from one place to another, and we come back now and we start to study the Word of God together. So we come around and celebrate that time together. From our reading today, we are reminded once again regarding our spiritual weaknesses, a weakness which has rendered us incapable of fully living out the life of God. And this is why over and again we find God addressing this concern in the Bible. Since the very first day He picked us up from the fatal blow of Satan in the Garden of Eden, God continued to address this concern. After covering us from the shameful nakedness, He turned to the devil and said these words in Genesis 3, verse 15, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel." From that time until now, God has always reminded us that we have a weakness problem as a result of that fatal blow or fall that had prevented us from being spiritually self-sufficient. And today in the Old Testament reading, we read in Ezekiel 34, verse 16a, the A part of that verse says, "I will seek the lost, bring back the scattered, bind up the broken, and strengthen the sick." God is speaking and giving a prophetic word to the prophet, and a word that has come to pass today. So He, God, said that He would seek out His people from every corner of the earth and bring them back, and He referred to us as being lost. And this is the primary reason why we gathered around the Word of God during this time of the year. It is because we come because we know God is seeking us out. This I found to be a very serious matter, because far too many Christians today are living out their faith in a false reality of self-sufficiency. And until and unless we come to grasp onto how spiritually weak we are, until we can get to that point of understanding that, our walk of faith will in the end become nothing less than another fatal blow to the face. Because after all of our self-righteous efforts have come to conclusion, the final response that will come out of this will be, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I do not know you." And the reason God is going to make that proclamation to us, or declaration to us, is because we don't have inside of us the capacity or the ability to be what God wants us to be. We cannot do it on our own. If we had the strength and the ability to be what God wanted us to be, listen, then there wouldn't have been no reason for Jesus to come and die on the cross of Calvary. God would not have sent His Son into the world. The Ten Commandments would have been enough to bring man back to God. But we don't have the strength and the capacity to be able to do that. So God comes, and He comes to us because of this weakness. Because of our self-righteousness, we cannot do it. Self-righteousness cannot make it to God. Self-righteousness is too weak to make it to God. It's too weak. We cannot do it in our own strength. And we have no strength on our own, because self-righteousness is weak on its own. So that's why we turn to God. We gather in worship this morning, not because it's a norm, But we come this morning because we are weak and he is strong. He is the only strength that we have. He is the love of our life. He is the strength of our life. God is the source of our strength. And without him, we can do absolutely nothing. Nothing at all, my friends. We look to Jesus. Give God a hand of praise for Jesus this morning. And this is why we chose for a theme today, why he calls us sheep. Why he calls us sheep. You know, sometimes talking to a friend, and if a friend of yours called you a sheep, you're going to get upset. You're going to get very upset if somebody calls you a sheep. But over and again in the Bible, God is referring to us as sheep, and it doesn't upset us at all. I wonder, you wonder why you don't get upset about this. This should be very insulting because we are human. We are not animals. But God is referring to us as sheep. So why he calls us sheep? I begin to think about this thing as I read through the text for this week. Why is God calling us sheep? In an effort to explain the seriousness of our condition, all right? Our Lord Jesus Christ uses an animal that is best known for its weakness and stupidity. All right? Sheep is what he uses. On their worst day, I'm talking about the sheep now, on their worst day, they are weak and dumb. And on their best day, they are weak and dumb. That's how they are. And in order to better understand our spiritual condition, let's look at some of the characteristics that sheep have. The first one is they are not strong animals. They're not strong animals. They can't fight nothing, nobody. And if they try, they're going to get defeated. And so God is looking at that weakness, and he is applying it to us as Christians and saying that we are sheep. What is he talking about? God is saying to you and I, in other words, that when we look at our lives from a spiritual perspective, when we look at our life in the spiritual realm, we have no strength at all. We don't have any strength. We cannot fight the devil. We cannot fight sin. We cannot fight anything. We are weak. It's what God is telling you and I. Look in Hebrews 4, verse 15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who is in every respect have been tempted as we are, yet without sin." What this text is telling you, it is describing to you how strong our shepherd is. The one who leads us is strong. Jesus Christ. All right? They tested him. All right? In every form and in every way. But he did not sin because he has power over sin. They took him and killed him on the cross and put him in the tomb. But he had power over the grave. Jesus Christ is strong, my friends, and this is the reason why he is our shepherd. It's the reason I'm proud to say that the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. So we follow Jesus because he is strong. He is the only one that is able to command the devil. He is the only one that is able to conquer evil. His blood doesn't cover sin. It watches it away. And this is the reason why we follow Jesus. So the sheep are not strong animals. Next thing about them, they are not smart at all. Sheep are not smart at all. They don't know how to make decisions on their own. They don't know how to rationalize on their own. The scripture is telling you and I this morning, when God refers to us as sheep, and we look at this character of the sheep, that the sheep is not smart. God is telling us, when it comes to spiritual things, we are not smart at all. We're not smart at all. We don't understand or think. And this is the reason why the Bible says we don't even know what to pray for. All right? We go before God and we pray for all kinds of things, all kinds of nonsense like children, because we don't know what to pray for. We are children. We don't understand. Our minds are too small to comprehend the things of the Spirit. And God, understanding that, did not leave us alone to do this. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. It's the person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. And this is why you and I need the Spirit of God. This is why at the point of new birth, the Spirit of God comes and indwells the Christian, or indwells the person, and you become a new person from that point on, and the Spirit of God allows you to walk in faith. And I always tell you why God gave us faith and didn't just leave us alone, all right? But he gave us faith. He gave us faith to walk with him because we cannot do it in our own strength. We need God, and we need the Spirit of God to discern the things of God. We can't do it in our own strength. You see, when Jesus met Nicodemus that night, the scripture says to us that God, I mean, he went to Jesus and said, you know, I know you're a man sent from God because nobody does the things you do. And they got into this dialogue. And then Jesus tells him, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And Nicodemus is a Jewish leader. He's a part of the Sanhedrin council. This guy's a big guy, all right? Big theologian in that time. But he did not understand spiritual things, all right? Then he asked, but how is this going to happen? Does that mean that I'm going to have to go into my mother's womb for the second time? And Jesus, I bet, laughed at him and said, no. What is of the Spirit is spirit, and what is of the flesh is flesh. And he went into this whole dialogue trying to explain to him what this thing is all about. So when a person doesn't have the Spirit of God inside of him or her, it makes it difficult to understand what we are talking about because he or she is not smart enough in the Spirit to perceive spiritual things. And so they look at us and they make fun of us and they laugh at us. They don't understand it. They just don't get it. But when the Spirit of God comes in, my friends, things change. Things change. The mind of man now is able to comprehend spiritual things. We're able to comprehend the Word of God. So the sheep are not smart. Let's look at the next characteristic of the sheep. They are unable to find their way back home when they get lost. They don't know the way back home. If the shepherd doesn't go after them, they are not coming back. Because they don't know how. So the scripture tells us, and God is referring to us in this context, that when we get lost, we cannot come home on our own spiritually. Spiritually, we don't have the capacity, the energy, the strength, the knowledge, the comprehension to understand God and to find our way back home when we get lost. We can't do it on our own. And this is, we were so lost that God had to send his son into this world to come and find us. Because we didn't even know where we were walking, the Bible says, in darkness. We were lost, all right? And God came to find us. That's how the sheep is. When a sheep gets lost, it doesn't know how to get away back. So the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6a, we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us have turned to our own way. That's exactly what happens, all right? Turn to our own way. And we find that today in the world that we live in, where everybody have turned to their own way. You talk to Christians to tell you this is my life, and I'm going to live it the way I want. All right? But that's not how it is, my friends. There is something called subjective truth and something called absolute truth. We don't live as Christians in subjective truth. What that is that you decide whatever you want to do, and you go ahead and do it because it's your choice. But you see, those who have been baptized in Christ, we live in the Spirit. We live by faith in God and no other way. All right? We live in absolute truth. And that is the Word of the living God. If Jesus says it, we believe it, and that settles it. That's how it is for everyone who is a true abiding Christian that live by faith. We live by the Word of God. All right, so they're unable to find a way back. They have gone astray. Everyone has gone astray. Look at the next thing here. It says, if they are caught in a snare or in a trap, they will die there. All right, they will die there because they don't know how to get out. So Jesus is referring to you and I as a sheep because we got caught in a snare. And we died in that snare, literally. When you look at the text in Ephesians 2, verse 1, it says, ask for you. That's you, me, all of us. Ask for you. You were dead in your trespasses and sin. God tells us what our condition was before he came and picked us up. He said we were dead in our trespasses and sin. That's what it was. Spiritually dead. And then God came into that scene to pick us up and give us back life. The next thing about the sheep is they follow. They follow, all right? They follow. They don't lead. They follow. And so Jesus is referring to you and I as sheep, because why? We follow. All right? It is a normal, inborn tendency of mankind to follow. All right? So your kids come home from school, and you see them doing something weird. And you tell them, why are you doing this? Well, everybody does it. Because we follow. And we see grown-ups today doing the same thing. All right? Just because the state or Congress passes a law, it doesn't make that law holy, but the church follows. We don't do that. This is the only book that we are to follow. The only book is the living word of God and nothing else but the word. That's what we follow. We don't follow no one else. We follow Jesus Christ. But the sheep follow. But look, after follow, they have a following instinct that no one can, it's so strong. The instinct to follow is so strong that according to some news study, that they said that it caused the death of 400 sheep in 2006 in eastern Turkey. Why? Because one of the sheep was just going and decided, the one that was ahead of all of them, decided to try to cross a 15-meter deep ravine. And the rest of them decided to follow. And so he dropped in and then everybody went down. All right? Because they follow. So Jesus Christ comes in the picture knowing that we are just like those sheep and we like to follow. So he comes in the picture and says, I am the good shepherd. Hey, look here. I am the good shepherd. Because there are a lot of other shepherds out there that are trying to call the attention of the sheep. But he's saying, I am the good shepherd, all right? He's calling our attention to follow him, to keep our eyes on him. Because if we are going to succeed, that is only going to happen when we, the church, keep our eyes on Jesus. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 2, what it says. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is why we follow. We fix our eyes on Jesus Christ. Fix your eyes on him. He is the one who is leading us. He's not telling us don't follow, but he says follow me. We don't follow society. We don't follow the culture of the day. We don't follow nothing else, but we follow Jesus Christ. He is the only one that will lead us to a green pasture. These are some of the reasons why we need a shepherd. Because when God examines our spiritual conditions, this is what we look like. This is exactly what we look like. So he sends his son, our Lord Jesus and Savior, to come as our shepherd. He risked his life even to death on the cross because that was the only way to bring us back was by going on the cross. And this is why I'm proud to follow Jesus Christ. And you are proud to follow Jesus Christ. Here are some things that the parable in today's gospel suggests to you and I. In today's gospel, number one, it suggests that we are special to God. All right? We are special to God. The scripture tells us in Luke 15, verse 4, suppose one of you had 100 sheep and loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? Now, God leaves the 99, and he's going after one. What that tells you and I this morning, that each of us are special to God. Each person in this room, under the authority of my voice, is special to God. No matter what the devil has said to you, no matter what families have said to you, no matter what friends have said to you, no matter what society has said to you, I got news for you. And the news I have for you this morning is God is saying that you have been made special. It doesn't change anything. You are special to God this morning. He leaves the 99 and is willing to go for that one. The scripture said, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should have eternal life. All. And that's what God seeks. And he will go to find us wherever we are. Second thing is, we are lifted by God. We are not only special to God, but we are lifted by God. Look in Luke 15, verse 5. It says, and when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. When God finds us in our sins and he picks us up, he doesn't let us walk again. He becomes responsible to lift us and keep us. He's responsible to do that. Wherever he finds us, he carries us. This is a very beautiful picture. See, my little daughter, Angel. Angel has this tendency. Whenever we go to a place where she feels like she's not secure, we get out of the car and everybody trying to get their clothes, you know, straightened up and stuff. The first thing Angel does is she runs to find daddy. And no matter what I have in my hand, she slips her hands into my hands and locks it in and makes sure she's secure. Now we can go. All right? That's how she does it. Every time. Every time. Sometimes I'm almost tempted to tell her, go to your mommy. But I don't do that because why? She trusts daddy. Always. This is exactly what God wants us to do. To see ourselves as very vulnerable in the spiritual realm. And that the only way we can be secure is that when we lock our lives into his hands and allow him to lead us and to take us to that place of green pasture. That's what he wants to do. So the last point this morning, we are celebrated by God. So we are not only special to God, we are not only lifted by God, but we are celebrated by God. Look in Luke 15, verse 6. He says, and he goes home, then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, rejoice with me, I have found my lost sheep. So, and Jesus went further in that text to say, so heaven rejoices over one sinner that repents. This is amazing. This is very amazing. Yet Jesus speaks how joyful it gets in heaven when one of God's children gets found and brought back home. So heaven is rejoicing. The angels are rejoicing because one sinner repents and comes home to God. And so this is a joyful thing when God comes into our world. And just this morning, I imagine that heaven is always rejoicing because people are always getting saved. This morning, as we're sitting in church this morning, as the word of God is being dispensed, live stream, and people are listening this morning, and other churches are having services this morning, people are hearing the word of God, and people are being converted and coming to Christianity. And as this is happening, heaven is rejoicing. So the trumpet doesn't stop. It continues on, all right? The joy continues on in heaven because God cherishes us so dearly. I pray this morning that as we hear these words from God, that our hearts will be encouraged, that we'll be steadfast in our faith, knowing that we have a shepherd who is strong and who is going to lead us to green pasture. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Thank you.